the Healing Through Love podcast with Charlene Lynch and Rose Davidson. In episode 131 with Elizabeth Kipp, discover how ancestral clearing can release past burdens and heal generational trauma.
You know, we're born worthy. It's not a question. Our circumstances, especially when there's domestic violence involved and other burden like that, maybe there's abandonment or, you know, other kinds of burden, we're affected by that, and we have to then do the work to reclaim our self-worth. So I feel like I feel like my soul really is a pure light, but the imprints from the lineage and from my upbringing left a mark, and it's up to me to no, you're not worthy, and you're not enough, and don't even speak up, we don't want to hear from you, and all the stuff, all the things we hear, and then the things we make up in our head because of what we heard, which is even worse.
Welcome to another episode of Healing Through Love. Each week, we share ideas, experiences, and resources to increase the awareness of domestic and family violence and to empower survivors to grow and thrive. We talk with experts who share their advice or with people who have experienced abuse, no matter where they are on their journey. This is all about healing through love. And now, here are your hosts, Charlene Lynch and Rose Davidson.
Hello and welcome to the Healing Through Love podcast, a space where stories of strength, resilience, and transformation unfold. I'm your host, Charlene Lynch, and I'm honored to be your guide in this journey of empowerment and healing. Today, we have a very special episode tailored just for you, whether you're driving the car, sipping a cup of tea, or simply taking a moment for yourself. I want you to know that this is a safe place. Healing Through Love is more than a podcast. It's a community, a beacon of hope, and a reminder that you are not alone. In this episode, we have a guest who will share a story that resonates at the core of our mission, a story that illuminates the power of love, resilience, and unwavering strength that lies in each and every one of us. So settle in, take a deep breath, and let the healing begin. But before we dive into today's inspiring narrative, a quick reminder that if you find value in our episodes, consider supporting us by subscribing, sharing, and leaving a review. Your engagement helps us reach the hearts, the minds, and the souls and spread the message of healing at the speed of love. I love it. And today we have a very, very special guest. Elizabeth Kipp is a stress management and historical trauma specialist who uses trauma-trained and yoga-informed actions recovery coaching. She's an ancestral clearer as well, and we're going to dive into a little bit of that today. A compassionate inquiry and yoga to help people with their healing. And we all need to heal. We're all on a healing journey. Elizabeth healed from more than 40 years of chronic pain. This is amazing, including anxiety, panic attacks, and addiction. Now in a long-term recovery, she guides others to unleash their healing power, find freedom from suffering in their lives and thriving. I love this. She is an international best-selling author of the book, The Way Through Chronic Pain, Tools to Reclaim Your Healing Power. I love this. So, and welcome to the stage. Hello, Elizabeth. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you, Charlene. Beautiful introduction. Thank you so much.
I love it. I love it. And now, okay, there's obviously a story that's got you where you are. And are you okay if we just start our journey today with our conversation? Just unpack a little bit for us about how you got to where you are.
Sure. I really wanted to bring in the self-worth angle today because I felt that would really resonate with this audience. So I was born to a mother who was undiagnosed and untreated bipolar disorder, who went into a deep depression right after I was born, like literally as she delivered me, and she just went into a big depression, gone for 9 months. So separated from my mom, and she chose to medicate her condition with alcohol, not knowing she didn't get along with medicine, and but she was obviously in pain with that. Nowadays, the trauma specialists look at bipolar disorder as a trauma response. So as a possibly a trauma response. So that's kind of an interesting angle on that. But as a child, my experience of my mom was that she was unpredictable. And she had a quite an anger, had quite a rageful, she would get into these really kind of rageful, I don't know, fits or something d during the day. And I knew that every day I was going to get in trouble. And I knew somebody was, it wasn't only me, it was like whoever was around. But I was one of the people that got it. But I never knew when it would happen. So that created a couple of things. It created a hypervigilance of my nervous system because it was like walking on eggshells. But it also, from a mother-daughter point of view, it also created a what do I have to do to make her happy? What do I have to do to, to kind of like get her to love me? Which I didn't even know that was running until way later in my life. I had no idea that was the question that I was asking. So that created a lot of trouble in me and a lot of issues around self-worth. When I look back on that now, I see that one of the things that I see is that my mother carried her own trauma, unresolved trauma, didn't have the tools. She just didn't have the tools that we have today. They just were not available to her. And I also feel that she was really terrified that I was going to. That her daughter, that I, as her daughter, would live the same life. And I think that was one of the reasons that she was such a disciplinarian and so like, you got to do better and all that kind of stuff. I think she was just a very fearful. She's a fearful person, period, but I think she was very fearful for me. So when I saw that finally, got over the wounding, right? My heart just opened, and I really saw her as it kind of karmically. I saw her as my teacher of compassion. That was really, I felt the role that she played in my life, just kind of as a and from a larger picture, kind of a soul journey perspective. So that's kind of the thumbnail on that. I had chronic pain as a part of what that. Part of that burden was the chronic pain that I felt. I had an accident when I was 14 and fell off a horse and hurt my back. And I had to have a number of surgeries to correct that. And it just took a while. It took a lot of surgeries. And then there was a lot of pain involved. And the doctors, they didn't know how to heal chronic pain. Their approach at that time was you can't heal chronic pain. I have a science background, and I was taught research science methods and so forth. So I knew when I heard that they were telling me more about the model they were operating in than they were telling me about the body's ability to heal. Right. So that was a journey right there. I finally found a doctor after 31 years of medication and stuff to a prescription medication. Who knew the na really understood the nature of chronic pain and helped me get off that medication, and I've been clean of all that, and no more panic attacks. All that stuff just whoosh, disappeared a little over 11 years ago. So I'm here really to tell people you can heal from chronic pain. It's possible because I'm a living example of that. Yeah,
And there's just so many layers to this. Where do
I
you
know
start
it's
with this
true.
conversation? So, listeners, if you're in a level of chronic pain, then know that there is an answer. It's not necessarily medical, just saying. And isn't it interesting that it was your spine, which is your support system, and is at the bottom of your spine?
Fifth arm bar.
So, our body holds the story. And as a survivor myself, our body can teach us what it is that we need to heal, even though we don't have the language for it. But just having that level of awareness to where the challenges are, then you can begin that journey to find out what you need to do. I love this. This is fantastic. You're speaking my language, Elizabeth. I love this. Okay. So I love particularly the piece that you talked about with your mother and that, she's responding. This is a trauma response for her. So do you know much about what happened in her upbringing? Is this mental health issue or mental wellness issue? Does it go back more generations? Is there something more that you know about that?
There is, and I it took really I a lot of it's kind of a mystery, but I've been able to hold to find pieces of it fairly recently, just because of just the way things are unfolding in my life. Perfect timing, right? So she her father had difficulty with was an alcoholic. And he ended up getting off alcohol and cleaning up and all that kind of stuff. But prior to that, he had these fits of violence too, and she experienced that. And I didn't really know that until, I was an adult and she was already past. I hadn't been able to put those pieces together, but she experienced that as a baby. Right. So her mom, they ended up getting my grandfather and grandmother ended up getting divorced. So that's another wound, right? And then her mother was killed in the Second World War, and the last ship to come across, passenger ship to come across the US, was killed by a German a torpedo from a German U-boat. So she never got over that. And what I heard that as a story in the family, but you know what the underpinning of that was? No one in the family knew how to process that these wounds. There was no knowledge of how to process any of that. So because there was no knowledge, there was no support. And this is how the cycle repeats it through the generations.
So listeners, if it's challenging to look at this, but your perpetrator, the person that has acted violence on you, they're a victim themselves. So, and that's where that level of forgiveness comes in and leaning into being the victor rather than the victim. So it's so fascinating. And if we can have that level of compassion and forgiveness, it can help us heal and it can help our perpetrators heal as well. Just that simple act of forgiveness and letting go. I love this. Now, ancestral clearing, like this is a big one because we this the challenges that we face as family and domestic violence survivors is that it just didn't happen in this generation. It goes back. So us stepping forward and healing our wounds, in fact, we're healing the wounds of our ancestors. Now, that's something to get your head around. I'd love it if we could unpack that a little bit for our audience, because it did my head in when it was announced to me that now you have actually healed 700 years in the past for your ancestors. I'm like, hang about, they're not here. How can I have healed them? So can you unpack this for our audience so that we can.
I love that because as I said, I have a science background, and when I got into this work, I was like, I knew that I was getting, I felt the effect of it, but I was like, how is this working? What the heck is going on here? And what I understood was, thank goodness, I understood that the quantum physicists tell us that in the present moment, we have access to the past, present, and future all at once. That's how powerful the now is. And we could go off on a whole thing about that, but I'm going to stay right here. So when we do this kind of work, we're working in the present moment. You can only heal in the present. You can't heal in the past or the future. And so we're at that point because we're working in the present moment, we're connected into the ancestors. Now it gets muddy in my mind because when we're looking at the field of consciousness, this present moment, if you think about nested dolls, like the Russian dolls, there's little ones and big one, and they get bigger and bigger. The inside little doll is us as an individual, and the next doll out is the family influence, and the next doll out is a cultural influence, and then the next doll out is maybe the nation. And then the next doll is the global. So we've got those influences. And that's including the collective energy in the present moment. But the outside doll is the ancestral piece. So we're experiencing all these different energies at once. So I can't really put my finger on, oh, that's ancestral, and this is co collective, and this is, my personal stuff, because it's all kind of happening at once. We can kind of ancestral clearing, we can kind of, well, there's about 30 different ways that John Newton, who teaches this process, about 30 different ways to get at the burden from an ancestral point of view. But I'm painting the picture that it sounds kind of simple, but it's actually pretty complex. So, yeah.
I love it. And so, but at the heart of all of this is our self-worth. So how we value ourselves,
Oh.
because when we value ourselves differently, we're no longer the victim. We stepped out of that situation, energetically and physically. So the self-worth is at the core of all of this, and reclaiming your self-worth. Can we dive into a little bit of that? And you've got a for our guests today as well. Can we talk about that?
Sure, yeah. So, we're born worthy. It's not a question. But our circumstances, especially when there's domestic violence involved and other burden like that, maybe there's tremendous abandonment or other kinds of burden, we're affected by that, and we have to then do the work to reclaim our self-worth. So I feel like I feel like my soul really was is a pure light. But the imprints from the lineage and from my upbringing left a mark. And it's up to me to I left a mark of no, you're not worthy, and you're not enough, and don't even speak up. We don't want to hear from you, and all the stuff, all the things we hear, and then the things we make up in our head because of what we heard, which is even worse. Right now, we've got a landscape full of kind of crippled stories. And we need to really go in there and reclaim our worth and look at those stories and shift them. Right? We don't want to get stuck in the perspective of, and there's more than one perspective, right? Which one are we looking at? Are we looking at the one where there's no hope? Or are we looking at the one where, oh, there's a path out of here, and maybe I can take that.
It's so foundational, Elizabeth. We make decisions, we set our values, like everything comes from that level of self-worth. And when we see ourselves differently, we turn up differently, people treat us differently, and energetically, there's a huge change. Yes, and I remember being on the other side of it, where I could talk about self-worth and self-esteem and self-image, but I wasn't it. It was like I was just saying the words, but I wasn't living it. So there's a difference between understanding the concept and then being it. And that transition is what the free offer that you're sending us with, which is a booklet of prayer, different prayers to get you. And, a prayer is just a bunch of words that have a different vibration, to get us from where we are to where we want to be. So can we unpack the gift that you're going to be sharing with our guests today?
Oh, sure. So I'll just talk about the ancestral clearing piece of that, and then the gift is or is the work around that, and then I have an experience I can share with the audience now. Ancestral clearing is a modality that was pioneered by Howard Wills and then later developed by John Newton of Health Beyond Belief, and I'm one of his practitioners. I've been in the work for about 11 years, and somewhere on the planet pretty much every day, and it's been really instrumental in helping me heal myself and guiding others into their healing. We call on whatever created all of this, and we call that higher power or creator or whatever you guide, whatever you want to call that. Something created all of this. We address that. And we ask it to help us release that which no longer serves us. And we use the word forgive to mean release that which no longer serves us. So we're asking creator energy to help us, or consciousness, whatever you want to call that, we're asking it to help us release. We're not asking it to take anything away from us. We're asking it to help us release, which I think is an important distinction there. Okay. So I can give you an example of an ancestral clearing, one of the 30 different ways that we can get at the burden. I could share one with your listeners now, and then there's eight versions of different aspects of this that you'll get in the free booklet. Is that okay if I do that now?
That's absolutely perfect.
Okay, great. So everyone listening, wherever you are and whenever this is, if you, unless you're driving, don't do this if you're driving, right? But just put your attention on the sensations in your body and kind of notice what level from 0 to 10 is the level of sensation in the body. And say, so I could feel my sitting bones on on the chair and my feet on the floor, and I've got a little bit of sensation in my right cheek and so forth. And I'd give it maybe about a 3.5 out of 10, and it varies during the day. And anyway, so gauge what the sensation is, breathe normally, and just let these words stay present and just let these words pass over you. Oh, higher power, with all that you are and all that you encompass in the full span of all time and in all realms, we thank you for our lives. We thank you for your enduring and unconditional love, light, and guidance. For us and all of our ancestors through all space, time, dimension, realms, and lifetimes, for those times when we felt we weren't enough for each other, for ourselves, didn't feel up to the tasks of life itself, when we felt we weren't enough for you, higher power, and for the times we affected this in others, knowingly or unknowingly. Please help us all to forgive each other and forgive ourselves. Please and thank you. For when we heard our heart beckon to us to go a certain way, and we turned a deaf ear, a blind eye, and turned away from this inner knowing, and all that arose because of it in our lives and in the lives of others, please help us all to forgive each other and forgive ourselves no matter what. Please and thank you. For the times we went to others for help or tried to help others, only to find that help just wasn't there for whatever reason. And all we felt because of it, around it, and about it, and for the times we felt you let us down as well, higher power. Please help us all forgive each other, forgive ourselves, and forgive you, higher power. Please and thank you. For all the times when we felt we were at the mercy of the incessant negative thoughts that sprung forth from the mind. For those times those thoughts overrode what we knew to be true in our hearts. And for the times we couldn't see or hear clearly what our heart was revealing to us as truth. For the times we tried to see or hear what was in our heart, but somehow felt disconnected to what it was trying to impart to us. Please help us all forgive ourselves and forgive each other. Please and thank you. Please help us find our way with your guidance to forgive all that happened to us, through us, or because of us, and help others forgive us the same. Help us all feel your loving embrace, pass your love on to others through us, and help us all to love ourselves as you love us always and forever. May we feel your grace fill us, and may we always and forever feel filled with your grace. Help us find peace, ease, and contentment with each other, ourselves, and you now and forever. Please and thank you. Please and thank you. Please and thank you. Just take a nice big breath in and let it out and notice how that feels in the body.
That's lovely. So now these, are they delivered on a PDF that you read, or are they audible or visual?
No, they're on a PDF. Yep, that you read. Yep.
Okay. So the audience knows, yes, I'm ADHD, but I'm also totally dyslexic. So what I've done to help me with things like this is I've read them onto my phone on the recorder of my phone, and then I keep them in a file so that I can listen to them in my own voice. And that's really helped me because every time I go to read something, I go internal inside my brain rather than inside my body. So, listeners, if that's your challenge, this great gift that she's going to be sharing, that Elizabeth's going to be sharing, there's another way that you can use it. This is fantastic, Elizabeth. I love it all. I reckon I could chat with you all day. This is fabulous. I love what it is that you bring to the planet. It's fascinating that it's happening for us, not to us, and yet the people that perhaps maybe in our mind have done the most damage are our biggest teachers, and that's a challenge to see it like that. But when we can get to that point where we live in that space, that frequency of forgiveness, life changes for us on every level. I love this. Now, in closing today, Elizabeth, what words of wisdom would you like to share with our audience?
Well, I'd like to say that the biggest healer in your life lives within you. It's all right here. I know that I made that sound really simple, but I learned that the hard way. And I'll say this, like I said, I was in and out of hospitals a lot, and I kept referencing the doctor, looking to the doctor for the healing. And it took me, the school of hard knocks to realize that all the healers, I give 20% of all the responsibility to all the healers out there, however they are, 20% of that of my healing is them helping guide me, right? But I make the choice to follow their orders or not. 80% of the responsibility of the rest of the responsibility for my healing lives here in me. And so that reference becomes I'm looking within. It's the best way I can describe like how to what the difference between looking at the doctor and the nurse and the Reiki practitioner and the acupuncturist and whoever and looking within. Because you can hear, oh, look within, and it goes right over my head. I have you got to bring it down to a grounded level for me to get it.
I love it. I love it. Yes,
That's
how to break it down. I love it.
yeah.
I love it. Now, this has been fantastic, Elizabeth. Thank you for your words of wisdom and for the journey that you've been through so that others can learn and that you're in a position now where you want to pay it forward and make a difference to others is a beautiful thing. You could have kept all of this to yourself and been, sitting on a mountain just humming at the sky. But no, you're turning up to make a difference for the rest of us so that we can heal and we can move forward. I love this. It's fabulous. If you're listening today and you're on the process of healing at the speed of love, reach out to Healing Through Love because we've got Pamper Days, think day spa on steroids in your local communities where practitioners come and they could be Reiki healers, they could be hairdressers, makeup artists, they could be beauticians. Pick a subject and they're there. We usually have 25 practitioners at each of our Pamper Days. They're supplied for you for free. So all you need to do is reach out to Healing Through Love and we'll let you know where the next Pamper Day is. 2023, Healing Through Love went global and now we've got healing days all over the globe. If you're a practitioner and you'd like to participate in these healing days, if you're in a position to pay it forward just for the one day, and make a difference for other survivors, it can be the difference. It can be the turning point for a woman's life. So reach out to us on Healing Through Love. We are actively looking to connect practitioners all over the globe with our organisers in different parts of the world. It's been a privilege and a pleasure to hold this space and have this beautiful conversation today with you, Elizabeth. We'll see you on the other side. Bye for now.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Healing Through Love. You can get further resources, see the show notes, or simply reach out to us via our website at htlaustralia.org. Thanks so much for joining us, and we look forward to your company next time on the Healing Through Love podcast.